and it would back up. And the way the wheel would be is as soon as it started backing up, it would turn, and so then it would make a 90-degree turn, and then it would go forward. And it would find its way into open space, and it would just keep going and keep going and keep going. Well, what I made was I just put it together, basically. But there was this gear system. This was the more challenging part of this little robot that I had. It was this little tiny gear system that you had to put. And you had to put it together, and it had to be connected to the wheel properly, or it wouldn't work. And as often as a kid, and maybe even adults, maybe some of us are adults that do this exact same thing, you don't need directions, right? I got it. I can put this together right here, right? Well, it was me fooling with the gears and pulling out one gear and putting in another gear and trying to make it work, that I found myself frustrated because it wasn't working the way it was intended to work. Well, one of the major ways that I knew it wasn't working is that it wouldn't actually run. That was a major gear. But then there was other times where it would run, where it would actually move, but then the gear would slip because it wasn't intended. Like, the gear kept on sliding this way. And then finally, the right combination of gears and the right little slots that I put it, eventually, it ran. And it ran properly. And I was excited. Why was I excited? Because it did exactly what it was supposed to do. That's why I was excited. I didn't create light out of nothing. I just made a robot, and it was built in a certain way, and I rejoiced because it was running the way it was intended to run. Now, let us think of God in this manner. Are you created to sin? No. If you didn't know the answer to that, the answer is no. You weren't created to sin. But God delights in you doing and being the thing that you were created to be. He delights in the way you being who you were created to be away from sin. And He delights in that. So He knit us together in a certain way, and He built us in a certain way to live and to be in a certain way, and that's how we be. That makes sense? And He delights in that. But that often goes awry. That goes awry quite often. Confession time. Does that happen to you? It happens to me. I live in a manner in which I'm not created to live often. However, it's not just my own making. Sometimes we have experiences where we're affected by the world around us. And creation starts to live in a certain way that it's not intended to live. And I think we have what happened in Oklahoma this week, right? We've heard this story. We've heard some of us seen the news. There's one story, though, of a woman with her daughter. Anyone see this? We're going to show this video. In this video is
And what was it like once it came through? I was home with my dog. I was sitting on the stool with my dog. This was a game plan all through the years, to go in that little bathroom. And the electric never went off because the electric went off in the bathroom about the same time I felt the stool come up out of the floor. And I rolled around a little bit, and when it stopped, I was right there. That presto cooker is what I saw.
You were lying there.
Uh-huh. And I never lost consciousness, and I hollered for my little dog, He didn't answer. It didn't come, so I know he's in here somewhere. But it just, I mean, it was there and it was gone. Just no time. And then it was light. And I thought, well, I'm okay. And I had some stuff on top of me. And I started wiggling.
Are you able to comprehend yet what happened here?
I know exactly what happened here. Exactly. And
what do you think of all this? This is your neighborhood, I can't imagine.
This is life in the big city.
The dog. Hi, Poppy.
The dog.
Oh, Kathy. Bless your little bitty heart. Can you help me?
Was this not true worship? House gone. Devastated. She had nothing left. And she praised God. Something, I mean, it's horrible. Think about a time like that, where people are going through so much, but God has given the church such a beautiful example of what true praise and worship is. This dog, by being the dog and being alive, brought praise and worship to this woman. Not to her, but she was compelled to praise God. Did you hear it? Real quiet. She goes, thank you. Remember, did you hear that? Real quiet. Is this us? Is this how we define worship? I'm curious, whenever I think about all the different times, whenever we start talking about stuff outside this church, outside these doors, do we consider worship and praise that powerful, like that woman who was sitting amidst the rubble? Do we think of praise and worship outside as much as we do that we might have here? Let's look at the text. Look at the next slide of the text. He answered, I tell you, if these were sound, the very stones would cry out. What in the world does that mean? If you would have heard the children's message, you would have seen me do this. What does this even mean? What does that even mean? That the stones would cry out. If Jesus wasn't praised, the stones would cry out. A reference to Habakkuk. Often in the Old Testament, God would petition the mountains or the air, and he would say, let them be my witness. And if you go to a more of a Southern Baptist type of church, you would have the person say, can I get a witness? Right? And what would you supposed to be doing? Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen. Or preach it, or, you know. Yes! I thought I was going to hear this rock cry out. See, the verse from Habakkuk says, "Woe to him who gets evil gain for his house, to set his nest on high, to be safe from the reach of harm. You have devised shame of your house by cutting off many peoples. You have forfeited your life. For the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the woodwork respond." What is happening here is this. By a stone being a stone, sometimes gives up God more praise than you do. Sometimes this stone, because it's created, will worship God more than you. And it shouldn't be that way. See, that's what we're talking about here. When God would petition the stones and the rocks, and he would say, "They will be my witness." This is an Old Testament prophet thing. You'd see it from time to time. And it's kind of being referred to here, that the stones and the rocks and the mountains will cry out if you don't. What that's trying to say is that it's so utterly true, it's so intertwined with creation, that creation will groan, will cry out, will scream forth the truth if you keep your mouth shut. See, this is what I'm talking about. By being a rock, by being created by the God who created all things, it in of itself worshiped God. By that little dog surviving that horrible tornado. Gosh, wasn't that beautiful? In the midst of the rubble, her crying out. Just because this dog was a dog, it didn't have a sack of gold in its mouth. Just by dog being a dog, this woman was compelled to praise God. And I'll say this. You are knitted together. You are created in everything you do to praise God. And if you refuse to, does that mean praise will stop happening? Stop. Brothers and sisters in Christ will pick up the slack. Other people will pick up the slack. And if no one does, guess what? Creation will scream out. Because our God is a God who demands your praise and your worship. And that's more than just singing songs here. That's each and every heartbeat of your life. I'm not a doctor, but I would say that's every second. Right? Those who are doctors in the room? That's every moment of your life you are called to praise God. Just by your heart beating, it praises God. Just by your lungs expanding, you praise God. And yet you have voice, and you may not praise God. You may not sing the songs that you're called to sing. See, what we're talking about here is not just a good song that stirs your heart and makes you happy. Hey, that's good. We're talking about something much more than that. We're talking about your disposition, your position, your posture, your being, your each and every day life with God. But we're also talking something more about that, because we're not just talking about Monday through Saturday. That is incredibly important to me. We're also talking about what happens in here. We're talking about what happens when we come together as a body of Christ and start singing a song together. It has nothing to do about the quality of the song. It has nothing to do about anything. How well. You don't want me to play guitar up there. You do not want me to start singing songs. Can I get a witness? You do not want me to do that. But I would. I don't want the rocks to crack. I don't want these things to start singing. It's not about that. It's about us coming together and realizing that you are created to sing a song for God. You are created to voice your pleasure in this God who is here and who is present. And let me ask, do you think that this woman was upset that she lost her house? Yeah, maybe, of course. But in that moment, she was praising God. Our worship and our songs and how we sing them is not up for us to judge. We just sing the song. It is not us that sits here and says this, that, or the other about the style of worship. Because what? Guess what? We're losing focus on the cross. And you know what's going to happen when we start doing that? When we start losing focus on who we're worshiping, the rocks are going to cry out. If there's one thing this text tells us, and that Jesus quotes the scripture, is to say, there will be a witness. And if it's going to happen, whether you voice your song, whether you start singing or not, it's going to happen. The very stones would cry out. The very stones would cry out. So when we're going to go sing, we're going to be singing some songs here. I want us to recognize that what we're doing is that we're not that we're singing a song for us. We sing for God. If these things are going to cry out, you think it changes the fact that it's a rock? You sing not because you want to be affected. You sing because you worship a God who demands your praise, who demands a witness, who demands your song, who demands your voice and your praise. That's why we sing. This transcends style. This transcends an organ or a guitar. This transcends whatever. Because what we experienced each and every Sunday, and what I think that woman has experienced, is a true piece of genuine worship. And guess what? It was amidst the rubble. And she cried out. And she praised. I have in the back here, we have a little thing of stones. You don't have to take one. But if you want to be reminded that each and every day, you're going to praise God. Each and every moment, you don't want that. You want that stone to shut up. And you're going to praise God with your heart, mind, body, and soul. And you're not going to complain. Like that woman had tons of reasons to complain. You're not going to complain. You're going to just cry out, regardless. Take that stone. Put it on your dash, or put it on your desk. Keep it in your pocket, whatever. And realize you're going to cry out and praise God with your whole heart, mind, body, and soul. Regardless of what happens, you're going to cry out and you're going to scream His praises. Can you get it with us?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, let our voices cry out to you. Let our song be glorifying in your